All right, five, board review, discuss, take action on information received regarding the Humane Society of Mojave County services provided to the public. And this was once upon a time a clinic and now Humane Society? Is that what I understand?
They moved and rebranded, is what it seems.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
They moved and they renamed their hospital, I think now they have an affiliation with the shelter. So there's just a brief statement that I went about this one, about the concern that was brought to our attention.
Yes.
What appears to be the technicians are vaccinating animals without a BCPR.
So I see the advertising vaccine, vet tech visits $10, but it doesn't say that that vet tech visit is for a vaccine appointment, right? Because what if, okay, so like I'm at. Well, like.
I looked at the flyer, I understand what you're saying.
I think you're bending over backwards to try to help them out, huh?
No, I'm just, to me, it goes back to this whole discussion that we've had at least five times on can you do a tech exam or can you, or is that a wrong terminology, right? Tech appointment, tech exam, tech whatever, for nail trims, anovine expressions, suture removals, the various things.
Vaccinations.
How do you know that? That's what I'm asking.
It says vaccine, vet tech.
Yeah.
It says vaccine.
Vet tech visit.
Yeah.
So is that just a booster?
Doesn't.
I mean, well, I don't know.
So.
Technicians give vaccines.
Technically, the label says it has to be administered to a healthy animal, so that would determine a diagnosis that the animal's healthy before you give it a vaccine.
So even before we go there, it's true, we do just have a flyer, typically we're not going to do a lot, just a flyer, but this was in combination with a verbal complaint. So that's where we came from. And all I know is what this person told me is that anybody who's never been a patient there, has never been seen by a vet there, could go there and see only a technician. So that's why I'm saying,
well, that's
that's me interpreting and saying that a BCPR doesn't exist. So it couldn't be like in a clinic where maybe there's a gray area where a technician is giving a boost or something.
Well, I guess my other question would be, the client is only seeing the vet tech, but does that mean that a veterinarian is not actually evaluating the animal?
We don't know, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, so.
But you can almost guarantee.
Yeah.
Right. That's all we have. We have the piece of paper of what someone told.
There's a reason why it's discounted.
Believes to be.
Well, and I think we're going to see more of this, quite honestly, because I think now that more and more states are allowing technicians to do more, other, you know.
But they have licensed technicians.
Right, but people that work at the Humane Society of Mojave County are probably talking to people that work at the Humane Society in Oregon, and guess what, in Oregon, they have a program like this and it's legal, and they're like, well, why can't we do it? And here it is, like, I could see that.
In Oregon, they euthanize the humans, too.
Yeah.
I have no problem with euthanizing humans. So, there's a lot on my list. No, I'm just kidding.
So I don't,
and legalize hard drug use, yes.
So, I threw out Oregon, not because I know anything about their techs. I was just throwing out a state that came to mind. But I just think we're going to see more of it because more states are allowing technicians to do more.
So it's kind of a question of what do you want to do with this information? You could open a case against a responsible veterinarian to do an investigation. You could just direct staff to reach out to the responsible veterinarian and say, hey, what does your flyer mean? And report back to you. You know, the underlying concern is it possible that there's a pet that's not ever being seen by someone like me? Because remember, there's no bottom line of who needs to work in a veterinary hospital. So
the
case.
Is that a concern?
Open a case?
Go ahead. You move it. Second.
Mr. Chairman, I move we open a case regarding the Mojave County Humane Society and their provision of services to the public for vet techs.
Second.
Okay. And a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor, open the case.
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. Number six, board may review, discuss, take action on request for approval of continuing education credit for the San Diego County Veterinary Medical Association's ophthalmology for the GP conference and exploring endocrine GI and hematology seminar. April 23 and 24, 2022. They're cutting it kind of close to the 60-day window, aren't they? A little bit.
April 23?
Yeah, they are. So, the only thing I saw on this was, I saw on their...
How many units of seed did they identify that?
Well, they had to say, they had to answer Victoria in an email.
That's right.
And I didn't see, and they said, oh, I guess we should have made the print bigger on the flyer.
Right, and I didn't see anything.
But I didn't see anything. Yeah. I mean, I looked and squinted and blew it up. And
yes, I couldn't find it either.
I didn't see any hours on there.
I didn't, yeah.
That's why I asked.
Oh, I said, I should have printed it bigger. Whoops. What? Maybe you should have printed it, period.
Right. There we go.
Okay, so does it look like there's enough hours there, right? Oh, here we go. It does. Conference registration includes. It's got the breakfast, refreshments, 12 interactive continuing education hours, 6 each day. All right, I missed it.
I was looking at it based on the conference schedule, but yeah, it looks like there are 6 each day.
But only 6 for the CB, for the RBTs total, right? When that would have said on the email?
RBT seminar, there's 8:45 to 4:30, but then you have to take out an hour for lunch.
Okay, on the email it says 6 per day for 12. And the RVT says 6 on his email.
So yeah, the RVTC sessions go from 8:45 to 4:30, which would be what, 8 almost 8 hours? And then you take out an hour, that's lunch, and two refreshment breaks that I think are 30 minutes, but it doesn't say that. So that's probably 6 hours.
Okay. All right. So we're good with the hours? Would somebody care to motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve the San Diego VMA
SDCV
ophthalmology conference. For veterinarians, it'll be 12 hours, and for veterinary technicians, it will be 6 hours. Second.
And a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? That motion passes. Number 7, board may review, discuss, take action on 2021 Equal Opportunity Report and 2022 Non-Discrimination Policy. Victoria.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is the report we do annually. There's absolutely nothing different from the last several years on the report that we do that we've reported if we had any complaints. As usual, there were none. So that's all there is. It's something that we have to turn into the governor's office. So if the board has any questions or if you'd like to approve this report, I'd be happy to send it to the governor.
And where's that at? Hmm?
Supplement 1,
okay.
Thank you.
Here it is. Pages. Am I supposed to read that? The chair would entertain a motion to approve to be submitted.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the EEO, the 2022 Equal Opportunity Plan as submitted.
Second.
And a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
And That motion passes. Next up is the fun and games legislature. Number eight, board may review, discuss, and take action on legislative bills. Where do we start? There's one more. You had the lead.
As your lobbyist, I'll give you this overview. So the first three, HB 2345, HB 2346, and HB 2224, are ones we briefly talked about at the last meeting. I put them on this time just to give you an update on where they are. The first two, which are directly related to our agency, if nobody else's, they have not gone anywhere. So no action has been taken. They haven't been heard in committee. They were assigned to committee, but have not been heard. This is the last week in both houses, I believe, to hear bills and their own side, so that those probably won't go anywhere. However, the cat decline one, which does add to our statutes, it passed the government committee, and I think it was also assigned to rules, but that's definitely moving. This is a bipartisan bill. Let's see what else I can say about this one. It's
being very generous to Senator Kelly.
So, yeah, that's all the information I have on that one. So the next ones are somewhat, we just talked about SB 1271 that Jane discussed. It doesn't have any direct effect on the Practice Act. That's just one comment I wanted to say. The next one, HB 2599, Administrative Hearings, GRCC.
That's my guy.
It's
Grantham?
It's quite a catch-all of all types of things. It was amended.
He inserted the word allege way too often.
Yeah.
Every year there's bills about GERC and stuff, and I wasn't even putting it on the agenda for that because it's so commonplace. But specifically, I was looking at, there's pieces about inspections.
Yeah.
Every year we kind of go a little bit away from public protection, and we're kind of moving that way again. It's just kind of changing the language to alleged deficiencies instead of just.
It's not allegedly expired. It's got a date on it. It is or it isn't, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what the heck? What's he thinking? I'm gonna ask him.
What that is.
I'll see him Thursday night.
But one of the pieces that does kind of directly affect our process is talks about which deficiencies that they don't have, aren't given time to correct. And one of them they're adding is that the same alleged deficiencies previously identified in any inspection report or other written notice at the same location within the last 2 years.
That's not.
So yeah. That would mean that everybody, every state agency is inspecting everybody every 2 years.
Yeah.
And I don't know what state agencies do it that often.
Yeah.
I don't think
that's,
everybody is. Nobody has the resources to do that. So this would apply in our world of, you know, we're going back to ones that, you know, we go back to. So that's different on that. So just minor things, but there is a lot. So the amendment kind of came out of nowhere, and it seems to be, and I haven't read the whole thing, is that it's taking the most recent executive order, one from previous years, and thrown it into law. It has all kinds of things about things that agencies have to put on their homepage about universal recognition and fee waivers and veterans and all that kind of stuff. And reaffirms in law that if a board wants to deny a universal recognition application, the governor has to approve it before it can be denied. So things like that. So that's why I'm calling that a catch-all bill. So again, it has to just pass committee. And I don't know any further about that. The next one on the agenda, just to bring to your attention, is SB 1568, Health Professionals Complaints Investigations. This is being heard in committee probably right now. It's my understanding that it could be amended. I'll start by saying a large part of it is making a requirement for agencies to have substance abuse programs. Right now in the Practice Act, we have a may that we may have one. This would require us to have one. which is fine, except that it's problematic in that requiring us to have such a program would mean that it's going to cost us some money. But the reports from the Senate staff say it's not going to impact the general fund, which it would. It's going to impact our fund. But that's not really being talked about. But the concerning part, which other boards have expressed their concern to the drafter of the bill, is that it puts in law the 180 days to complete a case. And so every, you know, most boards are struggling with that 180 days that kind of came out of the Auditor General's office, you know, a long time ago about that should be the standard. So that's concerning of how we would make that happen. So, but I think that might change as more people explain that more staff would have to be hired in every agency to consistently hit that number. So we'll watch that one very closely. The next one is HB 2626 Animal Handling Microchip Scans. This one did pass the government committee. It's been assigned to Rules. Another bipartisan bill that would require veterinarians and, interestingly, animal crematories to scan animals.
And the county workers, everybody. Obviously, Kavanaugh has never stopped on the side of the road and had to scoop up hair.
Right.
And the decaying matter with a shovel and smell it.
What? So I was going to ask people who've been on the board for a while, several years ago, someone came and like was pitching that idea as a bill. Do you remember that? There was a woman, and the board members were telling her that there were different types of microchip readers and microchips, and not every pet would have the same type of reader and things like that.
They all work on some kind of RFD frequency, don't they? So,
pretty universal.
Or maybe that was so long ago,
but still,
maybe it's different. My concern, you know, we don't, our lobbyists for the animal.
We pay that guy in the rent at the rendering plant to smell that stuff. I don't get paid to smell that.
They have to try and contact. They have to follow up on the information.
That would be the easy part. But the hard part would be holding your nose long enough to get the reading. And what if you had to spend a lot of time?
Well,
and there's nothing there to read.
That could have an impact on clinics, because if everyone starts scanning and you didn't register your microchip and it goes back to the clinic that inserted it, now that clinic are they taking on the responsibility of researching?
Yeah.
That pet may have been
And how to and they're saying if you come up with something, you have to put it in the freezer and contact them.
Right.
Well, and I don't know how, that's not that easy to do sometimes. Trying to close a microchip can take quite a while at a shelter.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, that's, you know, the big thing with the shelter, obviously, is to try to get them in and out as quickly as possible. And then if we got this piece, but even in a veterinary clinic, somebody doesn't mean that somebody is saying that I found this pet, right? So then do you have to mandate that you have to scan every pet when they come into the door? Or if they do say I found this pet, but the dog or cat needs somewhat immediate care, maybe not urgent, but now we have a chip, that person is not the legal owner to authorize treatment for that animal. So then are you just like, where do we go? I mean, there's some downstream ramifications.
Yeah, so I don't know I don't know if the AZBMA or the shelters have, you know, testified against it. I don't know.
And evidently they didn't clean up the air in 2046.
He's do a ride along with those guys that pick up the stuff on the side of the road.
Kavanaugh's done a lot of shelters.
Pick up all the coyotes and stuff on the side of the road. He needs to go ride with those guys and smell what they smells like, scooping that up with a shovel, trying to put it in a container, then hauling it off somewhere. I think you dropped this pretty damn quick.
And the fact that failing to scan then is like an unprofessional or disrespectful conduct, escalated quickly.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
I'm all for microchipping pets. But it's supposed to
facilitate ease,
right?
Not a honeycomb of
Well, and then even in the shelter, we see, because we scan so many animals, there is a percentage of error. So there are chips that get missed, and we scan at like all of the movement parts of their journey. So you can get two times down the track, and then all of a sudden you scan, and you think you're ready to rock and roll, and nope, boom, we actually found a chip this time. So what happens in those incidences where it's missed on the first time, something does happen to this pet where this person now thinks they owned it, gets scanned again. It has really got a lot of, maybe because we play with microchips a lot, we see a lot of problems, but it's not foolproof.
So this is really a bill that the Veterinarians Association, and if there's a crematorization, they should, be that. It's not really protected.
I just wanted to point out again, Victoria, that they haven't corrected the error in HB 2346 regarding the composition of the veterinary board when they say there should be 11 members, 5 veterinarians, 1 vet tech, and 5 members who are not veterinarians, 2 of whom represent the general public, and 1 whom represents livestock industry. What are the other 2? It doesn't matter.
My guess is nobody's looked at that since it hasn't moved.
Maybe you should put that one in line with the one that's on the veterinary shortage and say, do you really need to pull another 2 veterinarians from practice every day?
Yeah, it says who are not veterinarians.
How long does it take to fill a position, and you want to make one specifically for a board certified surgeon?
Yeah.
That would be hard.
Yeah.
I mean, no, it's just...
Yeah, by specialty, yeah.
And one last thing I wanted to say on item 8 is letters A, B, and C at the last meeting, the board had directed me to reach out to the governor's office to talk to them about it. I did reach out to the boards and commissions director, who about a week later was no longer there. So apparently my email has been sent to someone else, but I have not been contacted to be able to share your thoughts. So it's still on my list to talk to somebody about those. Unless they, after this week, if they haven't moved, then it's moved. So that's all I have. That's my report. But also to say, there's a ton of other bills. There's many that will impact us in general, or could impact us in general. I'm picking out the ones that I know about, and that are directly something that we need to look at. Thank you.
All right, next up we have the review and approval of minutes.
Mr.
And
Chairman.
First one, we got a pin down March. Go ahead, if you were going to do that swiftly, I'm sorry.
I'm going to make a motion to approve the January 19th, 2022 regular session minutes.
Second.
Motion on the floor, any second to approve the regular session minutes from last month. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the January 19th, 2022 executive session number 1 minutes.
This would be with Ms. Frost abstaining.
Right.
Left early. We have a motion.
Second.
And now a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? That motion passes.
Mr. Chairman, I move we approve the January 19, 2022 executive session number 2 minutes.
Okay, so if Ms. Frost wasn't there for number 1, was she there for number 2?
Good question.
I think that was because Dr. Bright
she was
accused.
Mark says she was.
She was?
I'm assuming.
Well, she left early. 1 comes before 2.
Yeah.
You can look at the time. Give me a second. And I'm just answer your question. Deductible. Yeah, they were both in the morning. Yeah. So she
Watch
was there.
It.
She was
yeah.
there for both of them. Oh, I take that back.
So Dr. Wright was the one that was recused of all the executive sessions. That's why there was 2.
So it looks like my mistake. She left early. She left at 2, and section two was at 12:20, so she didn't miss either of them.
All right, so Ms. Frost, would you like to cast a vote on the last one? Make it unanimous?
I don't know where I got that.
It was from Dr. Wright.
It was Dr. Wright.
Dr. Wright was recused for a lot of the executive.
It should have been Dr. Wright. Okay, thank you, I'm sorry.
Okay. All right, I didn't hear Ms. Frost. Was that an A vote? Did we lose her?
She left early today.
Yeah.
That was a.
Right, we don't know.
Well, I'm glad we spent a lot of time on that.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. No, you made the motion.
Motion, I did. It had.
You second it?
Did you second it?
Second.
Thank you.
All in favor, executive?
Aye.
Approving executive session two. Aye. Opposed? Any ayes have it, that is approved. Next is the consent agenda. The board may discuss and consider and take action on listed matters. Any item under consent may be removed for independent discussion and action by a board member. Who's been practicing?
I'm gonna make a motion that we approve the consent agenda, removing A2, A16, and B2.
Second.
Motion on the floor and a second to remove those items from the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion passes. Do we need to take action on this here or not? Or just remove it?
We need to talk about A16.
A16? So, A16 is a Mile High Animal Hospital, new owner, Bryce Smith, PDF.
Just to report that Don had concerns about the inspection at Mile High, especially the controlled drugs. There appeared to be some drugs, quite a large quantity of drugs missing. And she didn't have the confidence that even though they responded, she did not have the confidence that they would maintain their compliance, especially with the drug laws and several other things. So that was just, if you'd like to direct us to go back to that one.
Is that on our agenda anywhere or just on the consent agenda?
It was on the consent agenda. We're just pulling it up.
Okay. So, hell yeah, with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think if she has concerns, I would definitely say that it's worth it.
Thank you.
Lots of controlled drug stuff.
All right, so get this consent agenda. Summary of current events. This is a time for the board chair, any member of the board, or executive director to give a brief summary of current events that affect the board. It is informational only and no discussion may occur. So you can tell us you got a tattoo. Mark says we can't talk about it. Nothing? Because it's no fun.
I turned
73. Okay, here's the funnest part of here is the funnest part of our meeting. Call to the public. Those wishing to address the board do not need to request permission in advance. However, the board may limit those persons speaking during this time to a reasonable number on any public comment matter. In addition, each person wishing to address the board will be given 3 minutes to do so. Pursuant to HRS 3040.31.02H, the board may only take action on matters listed on the agenda. The board is committed to conducting its call to the public in a manner that ensures those wishing to address the board are afforded a fair opportunity to do so.
We were talking about the executive.
Everyone wishing to address the board will be given 3 minutes. Speakers will be advised when 30 seconds remain and asked to conclude comments. This is the time for the board to provide, for the public to provide comment to the board. By law, members of the board may not discuss items that are not specifically identified on the agenda and thus cannot respond to any questions. The only action the board may take as a result of public comment is to direct staff to study the matter or ask staff to place the matter on a future agenda. The board may exercise either option at the conclusion of the 3 minute period. If remarks from the public contain board member criticism, the open meeting law does allow the individual members of the public body that are the subject of criticism the opportunity to respond. At all times during the call of the public, everyone is expected to treat each other with respect and civility. If a person does not adhere to these basic courtesies, the board will ask that person to modify their behavior. If they continue to exhibit disruptive behavior, the board reserves the right to end the call to the public or to take other appropriate action. And with that, I yield the floor, and Dr. Johnson, you have 3 minutes.
Yes, sir, this is Dr. John Johnson. There's one going on there, and two people are laughing. This is a serious thing, stop laughing. And I was referring to 1987 Auditor General Report, and the board need to consider this report very seriously. And this veterinary board cannot operate the way they are operating now. It first happened in 1987, an atom bomb was fell on the veterinary board. Now, I cannot elaborate on that. And I was a limited man, I'm sitting with a very high official now. And I continue this conversation next time. Everybody have a good day. Thank you.
Thank you, sir, and good afternoon. And we have no other persons for the call of the public. So with that, we are on to our future meeting date, which will be Wednesday, March 16th, 2022, right here at 8:30 a.m. in this boardroom, Boardroom A, and one of the board members may appear telephonically. With that, the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
And Stan seconded. I thought you didn't want to leave for a minute. All those in favor of adjourning?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? And that passes. We are adjourned.